Because we move on, just getting to a consideration of the negotiating mandates on the Division of Revenue Bill, B2 of 2018. Welcome to the National Treasury, to Wendy and to Stephen, and for all the hard work you put into the Division of Revenue Bill, and also guiding us. Honourable members, let's go straight to the Eastern Cape. Where's the Eastern Cape? Oh yeah, Eastern Cape. As we speak, are still having their meeting, so we hope that they will send it through via Constitution House before we adjourn the meeting. So at this moment, there's nothing of Eastern Cape on the table. Free State, there's no member from the Free State. I'll ask Ongbo Motara as our whip to deal with the Free State mandate. It's the page just after the agenda in the back.
Thanks, Chair. The Free State province has concluded their negotiating process and they negotiate in favor of the bill.
That is Free State. Free State also have matters that they raised. I'm just looking here, that one that caught my eye, intergovernmental relations are not functional and effective due to poor political and administrative leadership. Next week, or the week after next week, we will be dealing with the local government week, where IGR will be high on the agenda. The matters raised will also be part of the report. Captured in the report. Yes, thank you. That is crucial. That is very crucial. That is Free State, Gauteng, Honorable Motara, that's your province.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Chair, the Gauteng legislature also negotiates in favor and has made recommendations which will also form part of the report. They are on page 7 of the negotiating mandate. Thanks.
Wendy and Stephen, you received the detail of the mandates. I'm going to give you the opportunity after we've done this exercise that you come in. Thank you. That is Gauteng. Thank you, Ongomotara. Let's go to KZN. KZN, their mandate. I'm also going to ask Ongomotara to deal with KZN for us. KZN is just after Gauteng.
It's also, thanks, Chair. I don't have the detail of the mandate, but
yeah,
they negotiate in favor of the bill.
They negotiate in favor. Limpopo, Olba Monakeri, the lovely province of Limpopo. Yeah, the most peaceful. Well, yeah, the most peaceful. That's a good remark, that one.
Now, thanks, Chair. Limpopo met some time back to consider the bill, and they also had quite a number of comments to make, as captured in the report that is circulated, among other things, the fact that road infrastructure,
yeah,
whilst appreciated, is not enough.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of making sure that those economic nodes are connected, you know, to each other and to the national road network for ease of movement of people and goods. And I think one other concern that was raised was monies that end up being surrendered back, you know, to national treasury because of municipalities or government departments not being able to spend the same in a particular financial year. And also some commitments that were made some time back where some hospitals, especially in Bembe, I think it's Kulume Hospital, Shinzin Hospital, where the president, the then president, Jacob Zuma, had made a commitment to have the infrastructure there. Revamped, you know, those hospitals actually rebuilt from scratch, and that has never taken off the ground. It has never happened. So those are some of the comments that the committee made, but overall they are in support of the bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Popo. Pumalanga is not here, although Isaac is not present. Honorable Motara, can you deal with...
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Also, not having the detail of the process or the mandate, Mpumalanga votes or negotiates in favor of the bill.
Thank you, thank you. Then we go to the biggest province, Northern Cape, with 1.2 million people. The Northern Cape votes in favor of the bill, but there's a lengthy... a document regarding matters raised during 5 public hearings, which was very well attended. I could only fit in 2 out of the 5 because of distances. I could only cover 2, but I vote in favor of the bill. That's Northern Cape. Northwest, Honorable Motla Shupi. Northwest, here it is, fresh and crispy.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chairperson. The Northwest Portfolio Committee met this morning. They were scheduled to meet on Friday, most fortunately because of the situation that is prevailing in the province.
Yeah.
They only met this morning, and they have voted in favor of the bill. But I need to draw your attention to the recommendations of the Portfolio Committee.
The recommendations?
Yeah, the report would detail all matters pertaining to issues raised in the public hearings and all that. I would not dwell into that.
Yes.
But I want to draw the attention of a particularly National Treasurer.
Recommendations. So that recommendations, is page 15 of 21.
But I will not read all the recommendations. I will only dwell on recommendation 6.10, where they talk about the National Treasury to look seriously into the matter of affording the Northwest Province a limestone cement, platinum and chrome haulage grant. This grant is a grant that is given to Mpumalanga, as Mpumalanga is producing coal and has other mines, chrome and all that. Now, what has happened is that over and above the grant that they receive a haulage grant to ensure that their rail becomes more effective and their roads. It's a special grant that they are even given over and above the grant that is allocated to provinces. So, the Northwest Province has your Lafarge, has your PPC, and has...
Sorry to interrupt you. Order members, please listen to this member. He is addressing a serious point in his province. Please. Thank you.
No, they're just like this. Now, all these things, that is why the Northwest Province is having a crisis of roads. And once this grant is not allocated, because everybody who wants cement in this country, and we are dealing with a massive infrastructure in the country, we are using roads to transport all these things, and I'm talking about the provision of cement is all in the Northwest, and if this grant is not given to that province to assist it to deal with the issue of the roads that we find, the infrastructure insofar as roads are concerned. We need this haulage grant as it is afforded to Mpumalanga. We will appreciate if that could be done. Chairperson, having said that, recommendation. You know, I have a challenge because I've been specifically requested to deal with the two issues. at length, but the fact of the matter is that I only received now the written mandate, 6.3, Chair. The National Treasury must monitor funding of healthcare services in the province that it is used accordingly. You would recall that the crux of the matter in the province at the moment is the issue that relates to health facilities. Now, if funds that were directed for specific and particular purposes gets misdirected, National Treasury, through its monitoring and evaluation tool, should be able to see the warning signs in advance. Because at the end of the day, when hospitals, clinics, and everything was closed in the Northwest, was as a result of poor monitoring and evaluation. And if that could have been done, you know, the disadvantage here is that ordinary people are the ones that were affected. And we're talking health issues here, and we don't have to be reactionary. We need to be proactive. And I'm highlighting these two points because they are very critical. Thank you, Chairperson. The Northwest votes in favor.
Thank you. Thank you to Honorable Motla Shipping. Northern Cape inherited Moshe Wing from Northwest. I know precisely what the member is talking about. Because the major issue there was roads. It's not the gravel road that you get in Gauteng or in King Williamstown in the Eastern Cape. It's another type of soil. It's an Afrikaans is wit kalk. It's like this paper. And you've got to treat it differently. You get it in the southern part of Botswana as well. And where we border with Namibia, and Botswana borders with Namibia. It's that total area that looks the same. And somehow the engineers will have to come up with a type of a solution. We are not engineers. But that's a very, very, very serious issue. Why? Because the ambulances can't travel on those roads anymore. Police vehicles. So it affects your service delivery. Because of the quality of the road, yes. Thank you to Northwest. We go to Western Cape. Let's go.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Western Cape people also met on the 20th of April. They are not negotiating in favor, and I'm just going to read the two names on that they are giving me up. And that is firstly the uneven distribution of equitable share, and then secondly the reduction of the equitable share and the impact it may have on delivering patient service and effective service in the impact. That is the main story of the affected.
Thank you. Thank you to Honorable Blanche. I noted Honorable Motla Shipping.
Chair, that one MEC of finance from the Western Cape came to the house and pleaded because the part of the division of revenue is what is contained in the 6 billion for drought. Now, are you saying you reject also the 6 billion so that it must be recorded because it's part of the division of revenue? Because if you reject the division of revenue, it therefore says we must go and re-look into the Western Cape and say they don't want it because they reject it, so that we look seriously into this matter as we move forward into the allocation of the drought relief. Thank you.
I want to sensitize members, and it was it was still given to us during the briefing on the Division of Revenue Bill. The consultation process of the whole budget, how does it work? It's also captured in the budget review. It's captured in the Division of Revenue Bill in the beginning of the document. And these members serve the MECs on the Budget Council. And there everyone agrees because they want the money. So if there's a disagreement, that disagreement be explained or unpacked. Western Cape tried here to do it in terms of the equitable share. We will definitely go into a better MTPPS in October than we experienced in October 2017. If you read the climate, if you look at projections of National Treasury for growth, if you listen and read the statement by the president of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, regarding South Africa last week, there are very positive signs. So, yes, I noted the hand of Honorable Terblanche.
Chairperson, no, I just wanted to say that I did read out the reasons. So I'm not going to explain any further. You know, you have to say now that it must be rejected or they rejected in total, I don't think that is the reason that they gave us. So I just leave it at the two reasons that I gave. Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members. That concludes that. So 7 out of 9 provinces vote in favour. I say 7 because we're still waiting for Eastern Cape. I noted Honorable Gaylor. We received a message that Eastern Cape was meeting at 9 o'clock. Are there any SMSs received? Estelle Lubabalu, have you received something?
Sorry, Chair. The latest, the message was a meeting at 9, and by 5 past 10, the PLO let me know that she has not received the mandate yet, but she will bring copies to the meeting as soon as she receives it. So I assume then she hasn't received it yet. I can just send her a message back and just double check that she hasn't got it yet.
I noted Honorable Gaila.
Chairperson, are we at
0.3? We have just dealt with Western Cape.
Yeah, no, I just wanted clarity here, Chairperson. I was here when you requested Eastern Cape. And on behalf of Eastern Cape, I was sitting here. So I'm not sure whether you are the Eastern Cape. Am I being downgraded to only being...
I was born there.
No. If you are born there, then I don't have to be in that committee. I don't have to be here. Am I downgraded to be only making the numbers in this committee? You gave all the problems, not Eastern Cape. So it shows disrespect to me.
No, sir.
It is disrespect.
If you want to be noted, you put up your hand and then you are noted.
No.
Eastern Cape had a certain situation, which I was informed before the meeting, which I convey.
Chairperson,
you've got the full opportunity. I'll give you 10 minutes, as in the House, that you can address the meeting. Thank you.
No, Chairperson. If you're going to chair meetings like this, yeah, we're going to have a problem. You cannot downgrade me to just being making...
I didn't downgrade you. I give you 10 minutes to put your case.
You didn't give me. You said Eastern Cape. You said Eastern Cape, and why do you report on behalf of Eastern Cape, and I am here? Is it that you are undermining me? Is that the problem?
Sir, do you understand what I'm telling you?
I understand what you mean, but I am supposed to report on Eastern because I'm in constant...
Do it. Do it.
I'm not going to do it now because you've already done it.
Please note that in the minutes as well. Thank you. Other members...
I don't want to be undermined.
Yeah, I don't understand that attitude, but leave it there. Here it is. So Eastern Cape, you've got the opportunity to put the mandate on the table. We call on Eastern Cape to deal with the mandate, please.
I think you should finalize it. You studied finalize it. Thank you.
Honourable Motara as the whip of the committee.
Chair, I think the delegate of the Eaton case is here, unlike the other delegates who were not in the meeting. So if the delegate of the Eaton case can dispense the mandate, thanks.
Will Honourable Gaylor please deal with the mandate? That's a request.
Eastern Cape votes in favor of the mandate. However, there are some concerns. The concerns are the provincial roads grant is inaccessible to rural municipality such as Mhlambe and also, and which is dependent on agriculture, another source of revenue, but the bad condition of the road surface threatens the produce from meeting the strict requirement. I think we've dealt with this before. The roads are a problem. We said it from the first time I was in this committee, we've been talking about the roads. So it's just the same thing that we're just saying the same thing. However, they are concerned about the reduction of the budget. Chairs should check provinces to ensure that there is equitable share, as the Eastern Cape is highly affected by the higher rate of unemployment surrounding the rural areas. The third one, the criteria used to ensure that there is equitable share in all provinces has to be looked at. Also, we've talked about this one here. The census problem made it clear to you, to Treasury last time, that during the festive season, all the people go back to Eastern Cape, then they must receive service from there. So it's an ongoing thing. The fourth one is the equitable share must also consider a location for small and emerging farmers in the area that are considered disaster areas due to drought. The last one, the reduction in the school infrastructure maintenance grant and human settlement grants have been reduced. This is concerning. Thank you.
Thank you to Eastern Cape who votes in favor of the bill. That brings us to 8 out of the 9 provinces of the members that vote in favor of the bill. The issues raised here on the members will also feature during the local government week. If I recall correctly, there's a debate on the Thursday. These issues about the division of revenue will come up there in that debate as well. So, yes. Treasury, I'm going to give you the opportunity to address the matters that was raised. Well, all the provinces have road problems, especially the rural areas. Over to you, Wendy. Over to you, Stephen. You can decide who's taking the lead. Thank you.
We're going to jump between the two of us the whole time.
Just use the mic, please.
Thank you so much. We're going to jump between myself and Stephen, and if the committee can also afford us a bit of time, because there's quite a number of recommendations.
Yeah.
So we would rather, you know, prefer to take you through it quite in detail, and what we then will do afterwards as well is give you a written input on all the matters raised. So yeah. If any committee members feels that we jumped over something, please just highlight it again. So we'll start from the Eastern Cape, maybe before we start with the Eastern Cape, maybe there's just some central issues that we mentioned that maybe would be quite important just to highlight from the start. Quite a number of recommendations are made regarding National Treasury and the monitoring of grants. And what is quite important there is that we, like the second pot of call in Parliament, is the third level of call in terms of grant performance. where the whole process started, the national department that's responsible for the grant should in the first instance actually do proper monitoring, oversight and support to ensure that the grant is spent correctly. So the real culprits should actually be called to account, and that's the national department's responsible for the grant. And it could be quite useful for the committee also then. And there are hearings on these type of grants, but it's quite important that distinction can be made, because when National Treasury gets the information, the first 6 months or so, it's the beginning of the financial year, you can't really see, you know, how the performance is going. And then when you get close to the financial year, then it becomes quite apparent that a province or municipality is busy underspending, and that's a bit too late in the process. They should actually, the hospitals were mentioned as one example. The National Department of Health should be liaising with the Provincial Department of Health to ensure that those facilities are built if it's a direct grant. If it's an indirect grant, then the National Department of Health should be called to account why they're delaying infrastructure programs. I think that is a key distinction. Yes, we overall monitor the expenditure, but we don't get this project is going this fast, that project is going that fast. We just get overall 20% of the grant money has been spent. But the actual details in terms of programs lies with the national department that's responsible for monitoring that grant. Then with regard to roads, quite a number of issues were raised. I'll break it into three categories. The first is, the current conditional grant money for provinces are not enough to deal with all the road issues that they face with. But the provincial road grant was never meant to cover all the costs. It's what we call a supplementary grant. A supplementary grant means it is over and above the provincial equitable share money that must be spent on those road infrastructure. And what is also quite important with regard to the provincial road maintenance grant, the grant is called provincial road maintenance for a very specific reason. It just deals with the maintenance of existing roads, and not maintenance of all roads, but maintenance of what is seen as provincial priority roads that's got a lot of traffic going through it and the like. And the rest is covered then through the provincial equitable share. And again, the question that needs to be asked is, you need to be very careful when you invest in roads as well. You must invest where you get the traffic and the like. And what often happens is that very key roads are neglected, which creates exactly the type of problems that we're referring to, which is a big problem. And it's not that the provincial road maintenance grant cannot be used for those purposes. And it is quite key, again, that it be followed up. But another issue that's also quite important is that municipal roads is another type of issue as well. There's two grants in the municipal space. There's the roads grant that goes, or the public transport grant that goes to the more urban and larger towns, which is now referred to as intermediate cities. In the past they used to be referred to as secondary cities. And then there's also a specific grant that goes to rural municipalities. And that grant is actually, I would have wished if we could have been further with that grant, because what the grant is intended to do is to actually do road assessments and actually see what is the current quality of the roads, so that they can be invested in roads. But the municipal infrastructure grant can also be used for roads, so that is quite a key issue. Then a last issue with regard to roads is what we can coin strategic roads that support economic growth and development. And the roads referred to is definitely falling within that category. We are waiting for the National Department of Transport to do policy work in that regard, which is quite important. And again, what is quite key is National Treasury, the request doesn't come to National Treasury to ask for additional money. The request must go through the Provincial Department of Roads to go to the National Department of Roads or Transport. and then it goes into the national budget process. But there is policy outstanding in that regard, and it could be quite key for the National Department of Transport to be asked for that strategy. So the problem that we've got from our side, we can only fund things that is actually approved policy. But we'll take note of the issue raised, and what we do when we get recommendations that fall within another national department, we do refer it to them, and we do liaise and follow up with them as well in that regard. So so we can take a two-pronged approach, that it can come through the normal challenge, but we also raise with the National Department of Transport. Then quite a number of issues are raised with regard to the provincial equitable share, and what is quite important there, we are currently busy with a review of the provincial equitable share formula. We've already introduced some reform to the provincial equitable share, and the key focus that we're currently busy with is to improve the data quality that goes into the provincial equitable share. And it's very important that you do only put in data in the provincial equitable share that's reliable and has been very well researched. And some of the work will also take a bit of time. It's not because we're lazy and we don't want to do our work. It's because it requires actually substantial consultation. And some of these things are actually quite controversial. You will always hear that urban provinces would say that we're underfunded because you do not take into account the large migration we sit with. Rural provinces would say you underfund us because you don't take into account, you know, long distances and other things that impede service delivery, such as difficulty to attract nurses and teachers and the like. So one of the things that we've asked the FFC to do, and they've indicated that they're willing to host what they call a rural colloquium to specifically look at this contradiction in the system. They refer to it as a rural colloquium, but to some extent it will look at the trade-offs that you require to make between urban and rural areas. But just one thing in addition to that is that often, you know, what is perceived to be reality and what is often the reality is not necessarily the same thing. So we do need to make decisions based on facts. But for example, on the rurality issue, we are currently working with the National Department of Basic Education in the review, and we're making most of the changes also to the education component, which is the biggest component. The health component, when we did the previous review, we added quite a detailed number of factors to look at those type of issues, and we're also waiting NHI. And then we're looking also at the poverty component, exactly what it should measure, and should it be poverty or deprivation, for example. So, but we'll highlight all these type of issues as the review progresses. I don't know, Stephen, if you've got anything else of a general nature to mention before we go into the discussion per province. Okay, with regards to the Eastern Cape, we've already dealt with the provincial road maintenance issue, the provincial and municipal components. If I can refer, because there's quite a number of provinces that raise the concern about the reduction of the equitable share. Maybe what is quite important to indicate, in reality, the provincial equitable share does not reduce over the MTF compared to the previous MTF. What has happened is the size of the increase have reduced, because remember, every year we publish 3-year allocations, the year in question and then the 2 outer years. So what happened with the outer year allocations that were published in the past, those were reduced. But if you compare it against the allocation that went to provinces for 2017-18 and compare it then what happens to 2018-19, all the allocations increase. And what we can do in our response, Stephen, is to actually do that comparison in writing and submit it to the committee. Also, if you look on page 78 of the Division of Revenue Bill, for example, Eastern Cape, the allocation for 2018-19 is 65 billion, and then it goes up to 69 billion and 74 billion over the MTF. So, and the same applies to Western Cape. It increases from 47 to 51 to 55. So there's no equitable share allocation for any province that over the MTF produces. They all go up. They all go up with different percentages in terms of the formula allocations. But what we'll do is the 2017-18 allocations are not reflected here, but we'll provide that to the committee to show that there's no allocations that reduce. Of course, provinces would have liked to see bigger increases, but in this tight fiscal environment, it's unfortunately not possible. That deals basically with all the issues of the Eastern Cape, except for four in terms of the emerging farmers and drought relief. That is not really an equitable share issue. It is more a conditional grant issue. There is 6 billion available in the contingency reserve, largely for that, but not exclusively for that. But what is quite important, if there's a disaster, and a disaster has been declared, and particularly in this case, the request will come through the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, or it's the other way around. I do know that there are requests that DAF has received. I'm not sure if Eastern Cape is in that request, but what we'll do after the meeting is to do follow-up and see whether they're captured in the process. But if they're not yet captured, again, what is needed, and this is a very sticky point, again, due process must be followed. Things don't follow the prescribed routes, it often gets rejected because of that. It must come through the provincial department, so that must go then to the provincial disaster management centre, and that goes to the national disaster management centre. And then it goes through quite a robust process of verification and elimination, and because there's often fat put in these applications as well. And only after those processes have been concluded, National Treasury gets the request. Then it goes quick because we don't delay it. Then with regard to 5, the school infrastructure maintenance grant that's been reduced and the human settlements grant that's also been reduced. The school infrastructure maintenance grant has been reduced because of poor spending by the national department. What happens, and we've been doing it for the last few years, the amounts remain stable, it just gets rolled over to the next financial year. It was supposed originally to be a 3-year program. It's becoming quite a long program. And what is quite important with regard to the school infrastructure maintenance grant in Eastern Cape as well is that Eastern Cape says they've got sufficient capacity to spend the direct money, that's the direct conditional grant money that they get. But if they need to deal with the indirect component as well, this is the indirect component, or struggle to spend it. So we do sit in a catch-22 situation of lack of capacity to spend. And then the human settlements grant is much more complex because it's not due to underspending but more of policy concerns and implementation concerns with regard to the type of housing that's provided and where the housing is provided. So there's a bit of a need to review the policy as well. So it's not just linked to spending. I don't know, Stephen, if you want to add anything on the Eastern Cape.
No, I think that's true. It's changed to the Free State.
Yes, that's true.
I think we've done extensively with the Eastern Cape. On the Free State, the first recommendation is that the equitable share be reviewed as it's not biased towards rural and poor municipalities, and I think that the committee is very familiar with our demonstrations that in fact the equitable share formula is very heavily biased towards rural and poor municipalities, getting more than twice per household the allocations that go to urban municipalities, and there is also a recommendation there around the need for the review of the provincial equitable share formula, which I think Wendy has already dealt with the FFC in the rural colloquium. On the Free State also raises an issue that they've raised before around unfunded mandates for municipalities and how these should be accounted for. And there was a change, as members know, in this year's Division of Revenue Bill that does go some way towards regulating that in terms of it making it a responsibility of the provincial treasuries to ensure that where a function has been delegated to a municipality, the provincial treasury must ensure that the provincial budget reflects the terms of any service level agreement. And I think it's prudent to remind municipalities that some kind of service level agreement or memorandum of understanding must be signed. I think there has been, just noting from the Free State's previous comments, that seems to be a misconception that national government can fund a function like libraries at local government level when the constitution is quite clear that that function belongs to provinces. And in terms of our principle that the funding follows function, we can only fund it at the provincial level, and then these service level agreements are the ones that govern how the funds would be passed on from that. And similar to that would be then the devolution of the property rates fund grant, which I think the Free State seems to be calling for that to come back. And we just would note that that was a grant that existed, there was a devolution process, and that that funding for property rates payments in provinces is now part of the provincial equitable share. So the money is still there, and it's a responsibility, and I think this goes back to the point around the accountability issue that Wendy raised earlier in the general comments. And on the district municipalities, I think we've briefed the committee on, again, this is a functional issue with district municipalities, that we to have a fully revised funding model for district municipalities depends on clarity on the functions of districts, which is subject to an ongoing process within DCOG to review the funding. But we did make a tweak, which we've been implementing to the funding of the poorest district municipalities, and we've been implementing that over the last 2 years, and that does assist some of the districts, particularly in the Southern Free State and the Northern Cape, and the smaller districts. I think we note the recommendation that the Chair noted at the beginning about the functionality of intergovernmental relations, and that's largely a political matter, I think. So we won't comment on that. In the Free State hearing and in their recommendations, they talk about the allocations for the Bucket Eradication Program grant, and that we should review that. Just over R1 billion is ring-fenced for the Bucket Eradication Program for the closeout of that program in two indirect water and sanitation grants, and it's only for two provinces, effectively, the Northern Cape and the Free State. And that program has been costed by the Department of Water and Sanitation and then ring-fenced within their grant program. We've had multiple meetings with the Department of Water and Sanitation around the costing of that as they were going through that process, and we did invite the Free State Provincial Treasury and the Northern Cape Provincial Treasury to also participate in that process. So we trust that our colleagues in DWS have done the best that they can. There's no guarantee that it's right, and we will review during the course of the year to check that they have gotten the amounts right. I think that's Free State.
Are you done, Treasury? You can see the hands are going up. Honourable members, I note a lot of hands. Let's start there from the top. I'm going to give every member the opportunity to raise matters that you think must still be addressed. So, Free State, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Let me start first by apologizing for my late arrival. It was due to the flights, their delay.
No, I know, and the weather and the traffic. No, it's okay.
And also, tomorrow is a national strike. Therefore, we are not going to get anything.
On a point of order, I noted Honorable Monakedi.
I just want to check. I mean, is the Treasury still going to deal with the other provinces? Because I thought...
that was also my question.
Because I thought they should be allowed...
That's why I asked, are you done?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry. Finish everything and then we'll take that out from the members. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I think as we progress, we'll also start going quicker because then they're going to be repeats as well.
Because I'm until 1 o'clock.
Okay, so then it can take even longer. That's great. Okay, with regard to Gauteng, we've already dealt with the first one about the grant issue. The vertical issue with regard to the local government equitable share. What is quite key is that if you look at local government, the reason and which we've stated is why local government is, if you look at just from a face value, it looks very small, but local government's got substantial own revenue capacity, property rates and surcharges and the like, compared to provinces which collects on average only 5% of their own revenues. That is why the allocations are so different. And if you also look at provinces, we mustn't underestimate the responsibilities that they've got to also alleviate the plight of the poor. Services like basic education and health are key as well, and it's important that those functions are properly funded. And if you then look at the local government equitable share, and if you do a comparison, and we've done that numerous times, if you look at from 1998 up to now, it's really the SWEOs whose allocations have grown the fastest. And what is quite important is that we should not just focus on the equitable share allocations, but also municipal owned revenues. And there's quite a lot of symptoms or indications that there's often under collection of own revenue, which is quite important. And leakage is also of own revenue collection. And currently, the National Treasury is working also with the Department of Cooperative Governance to see how can we support particularly to the bigger municipalities who've got substantial own revenue capabilities to improve their revenue. I know that Salga would disagree with his answer, but the question is also, you need to look at also the increased allocations, what we've given to municipalities. Does it really go towards free basic services to the poor, or is it going to increase salaries of staff and not to improve service delivery? So there's some key issues that need to be answered there. That is quite key. And so that is something that we need to look at. And it links up also with question number three, is some municipalities are showing severe signs of financial distress. But we are working, particularly if you then look at the outstanding debt to municipalities and the like, and when we did our briefing to the committee, we indicated what support we're providing in that regard as well. Four deals with improved own revenue collection, and we agree that. But this also, when you see improved revenue enhancement mechanism, it refers more to the money that's collected by SARS. And that has got two issues that's quite key, and it deals also more with the fiscal framework rather than the division of revenue. But the one has got to do with tax morality, and the other one has got to do with economic growth. And if we've got tax morality and improved economic growth, this one would improve. And let's be positive that given that there's a renewed interest in South Africa and our potential country as a source of investment, hopefully the problem will improve over time. Of course, I can't make a judgment there. And then the fifth one we can agree with as well, and we are working on that also with the municipalities concerned, and we're also working with the provinces and national departments concerned. The DG issued a circular to all provinces and national departments to indicate that if they don't pay the accounts within 30 days, it will be construed as financial misconduct. Stephen Limpopo.
I'll try to be quick as well. The first recommendation is around the utilization of funds for salaries in municipalities, and particularly for a request for a framework for compensation of employees. And I think it's just important to note here that the Department of Cooperative Governance actually has begun the process of regulating municipal salaries, and they have gazetted regulations for the salaries of municipal managers and Sections 57 managers. I think some of the recommendations also are for note are for the provincial treasuries as well. So where they've recommended for provincial government departments, I think we won't respond to those. For Thabazimbi municipality, they're noting the implementation of a recovery plan and that needs to be closely monitored, and National Treasury agrees on that. The Limpopo Provincial Treasury also has an important role to play in the monitoring of the recovery plan, so the Treasury assists in the development of the recovery plan, but the Provincial Treasury has a key role in the implementation thereof. The role of the Provincial Treasury in managing transfers of mandates to municipalities, and this is similar to the issue in the Free State around the delegation of functions, and again that new clause in the Division of Revenue Bill goes some way to addressing this. The comment on the spending on conditional grants, I think, goes back to what Wendy raised in the overview comments. On settling the debt owed to municipalities, I think we agree that the pace of that settlement is frustrating, and in the budget speech, the Minister of Finance did announce that the Director General of the Treasury would write to all accounting officers to inform them that it would be financial misconduct if they make late payments on things like this, and that circular has been issued. So that we wait to see the impact of that as well. I think the recommendation on the deviations of funding to salaries as compared to service delivery is something that we highlighted in the presentation, so we agree with on that, and it's something that we will we're engaging with municipalities on through the budget benchmarking process, but ultimately municipal budgets are adopted by the municipal council, and so they are accountable for those choices. There are comments on the library services and school infrastructure grants, those are funded through the budget. Then there are a couple of specific project level detail ones, and we have provided, I think the Honourable Member raised these in the committee meeting as well, so we have provided additional detail on some of those health projects. In summary, as Wendy said earlier, what is important is that proper procedures are followed. And so in the case of some of these health projects, there is a need for a proper planning process. So what we don't want to have is what we've seen in the past, where we've overbuilt capacity on some hospitals and then not built in other areas. And so some of the particular projects that have been raised, what is happening is that they're still in that project planning process to determine how many beds are needed and of which type are needed in each of the mentioned facilities, and there are some trade-offs whether you build one larger or the other one larger, etc. And so with that, and also with the Limpopo Academic Hospital, that is the situation. On the water and sanitation one, there's a frustration around the Nandorni Dam and the bulk pipelines to connect that to water supply of communities, and that has there have been several legal challenges with the implementation of those contracts, and the contracts were then cancelled and then taken over by the national department, implemented through Lapele Northern Water, but there have been delays on that, but those are now rolling out. So we will also provide detail on the implementation, the budgeted implementation of those projects. Then I think we've already dealt with the questions around road maintenance quite extensively. Just to note that the design of the provincial roads maintenance grant and that rural roads asset management grant are both, the premise of those grants is that maintenance of existing infrastructure is the priority to fund. I think for the reasons that you've all noted, right, if the roads deteriorate, then they're unusable, the fruit gets damaged, as the Eastern Cape mentioned, on its way to market. And And so the way that those grants work, and there's in fact an incentive in the provincial grant now, is that we measure the usage of the road condition, and projects are, and provinces are required to plan, and municipalities are also required to plan if they're going to use MIG funds for road maintenance. They're required to plan in terms of the priority of the road as measured by the traffic on the road, the condition of the road, and we also fund, in the case of the provincial roads maintenance grant, based on the climatic conditions in different parts of the country as well. So we do try and take a scientific approach to this, but I think we hear the concern of the committee that, that road maintenance really comes out strongly from all of these things, so we will take that back to the Department of Transport in the budget process to try and identify how that, that process can be, whether it's an implementation challenge or where the problems are. There's a call for us to be combat ready on drought and climate issues, and I think we have briefed the committee quite extensively on the process towards that $6 billion, as well as the normal disaster relief grants as well. The Moyeshe presidential nodal point, I think that is the nodal points are being coordinated by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, so I don't know off the top of my head the status of that current one. I wouldn't be able to comment on that here. The concern around Polokwane's allocation for urban development grants, I think what's important to note, so the legislature raised a concern about the capacity to spend, and I think what's important in this context is that the this new program for intermediate cities comes with capacity support from the Department of Cooperative Governance under their integrated urban development framework, and so the capacity with planning and implementation should be assisted through that process. The EPWP, and I think there was more than one recommendation that related to the expanded public works program. There's a recommendation that it should provide durable jobs. There are some durable jobs that are funded in the social sector, but most of the EPWP design is to provide temporary employment support, and the hope is that with the experience gained, people will be more marketable. And so it's the recommendation is calling for quite a wide redesign of that whole program if it's to be a permanent employment program. And the idea is that more people should have access to that opportunity rather than it being a permanent employment for a limited number. The guidelines on school governing bodies, I think we'll have to refer to the Department of Basic Education. I don't think we can respond on that one. And similarly with the detail of some of the farming projects, the individual farm projects named in the recommendations, that we would have to refer to agriculture. I think the committee raised a question around the poverty levels in both Limpopo and the Eastern Cape, and the need for development, and I think the poverty levels in the provinces are acknowledged in both the provincial equitable share and the local government equitable share. Those provinces get higher per capita allocation to cover their basic services, but there are also within the provinces economic development programs, but also from national government. There are special economic zones, there are major investments in infrastructure such as the Nandorni Dam, although then we've seen that being the kind of impact of that being delayed by the kind of problems we were discussing earlier, things like the N2 Wild Coast Route in the Eastern Cape. You know, these are major national investments to promote, even within a constrained environment, to promote growth in those areas. And then there's... Finally, there were 20 recommendations from Limpopo, the last of which is a comprehensive plan to empower the Department of Education's infrastructure unit, and the Education Department in Limpopo has consistently failed to earn an incentive from the Education Infrastructure Grant, And we would just note that in this context, each education department is able to use 45 million rand from the grant for their own capacity to employ staff. So there's no shortage of funding available for capacity. They've also all been participating in the infrastructure delivery improvement program for more than a decade. So they've had the kind of mentorship that goes with that. So it's not for lack of support from national that Limpopo has struggled with it. Having said that, the Treasury, together with the Department of Basic Education, is also currently assisting the Limpopo Education Department to recruit qualified professionals. So they're providing additional support in that recruitment process, and we've it's imperative really that in the past, not all of the recommendations through that process have been implemented by the department. We also, after each of the rounds of assessment through this, in terms of the education infrastructure incentives, we meet with the province and go through where they're lacking, so that they have a kind of a roadmap to improve after that. But I should note that in this year, one of the primary reasons that the Limpopo Department of Education didn't qualify for the incentive this year was simply that they didn't submit all of the required documentation, even after being reminded to do so. So I think there is a kind of an accountability challenge in the province as well, in spite of the support provided by National. Okay. So in terms of the Northern Cape one, the first recommendation is around a proper analysis of the Northern Cape in order to address challenges that are prevalent in the poorest areas in the Northern Cape. We would respectfully observe that we have to, from National Treasury side, we have to do things on a national scale, so we wouldn't look exclusively at the Northern Cape, but we are exploring challenges. We are looking into research studies around the conditions in rural municipalities more generally, which obviously includes Northern Cape conditions. The regulation to ensure that departments do not underspend on allocated grants, I think Wendy has already addressed that in kind of broad terms. The municipal spending of grants that requires adequate cooperation from all stakeholders, I think we agree on that one, and then the unfunded mandates again relates to that new clause. So I think that clause really speaks to a need that comes through from at least three of the provinces. The stringent measures should be put in place to address debt owed to municipalities. I think we've discussed this as well, including the threat of financial misconduct. The contingent liabilities in provincial departments, I think, is a recommendation addressed to the provincial treasury. I don't think we can't budget for the Northern Cape provincial departments individually. The review of the way the government does provincial allocations of the equitable share is subject to the provincial equitable share review process that we've already recommended. And then the last one is around the management of the MIG to ensure that it's used for the intended purposes, and again, that's primarily the responsibility of the Department of Cooperative Governance. And I should mention that in that context that, I mean, we have worked with the department and they have been increasing over the last few years their capacity in the MIG management unit at National. The MIG is also co-managed by the National Department with the provincial COPTA departments. So there are some differences and some lessons to be learned from those provinces that are better at managing their MIG with some of the through the MIG quarterly meetings that they have at National can perhaps be shared with some of the other provinces if they're willing to adapt. Just want to take this.
Yes, and then with regard to the Northwest, in watching more time, both of those two issues, and also with regard to the Western Cape in the introduction, I dealt with that. and we'll ensure that it's captured in the written response as well. But not just that, all, everything we said now.
You're done?
We're complete, Adam.
Thank you. Honourable members, you will look at our program. We will engage on the appropriation side with departments and the spending on conditional grants. If you look at Select Committee for Finance, you will notice we're going to engage with the 9 provincial treasuries. So what we are experiencing now, the issues raised here, will feature again in those meetings. So bear that in mind, that you speak in that meeting also on behalf of your province, addressing these matters. Are there any matters that members still want to raise with the Treasury? I'm going to start there. Honorable Shibango, Honorable Gaila, then we go down the road. Fine.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've already alluded to the fact that I came late because of reasons that were not...
No, we know that.
Mayor. But I'm not happy about Free State, the way it's dealing with this bill. They're not taking it very serious. You can see that they said yesterday and sent the bill to us in the afternoon. While I was with them there in Kwakwa, they never made mention of these things. But when you look at other provinces, they started on the 17th, 18th, up until the 20th. But that will be discussed with them. Let me start with MIG. Where I come from, there is no payment for the salaries of the workers of the municipalities. They take money from MIG, which is Municipal Infrastructure Grant, to pay the salaries. On 3 consecutive months, workers were not paid in Maludiapupu. And as I'm speaking with you, there is a mess there. People are fighting, they are not going to school, and SALGA is saying nothing. And the provinces say nothing. Last week, there was a motion of no confidence. And all the councillors of ANC which voted against the mayor, they were attacked and their cars were smashed. And a certain lady, a councillor, was undressed. This is how it happened. Now, my question is, are we doing oversight to, because I'm new in this committee, to the municipality? And if yes, how do we do it? Then I come to roads. In the Free State, roads, when you have, Free State is in the middle of all the provinces. But when you are from Gauteng and Natal, when you get to Free State, you feel that I'm in the Free State. For instance, people that come from Natal, when they get to Harrismith, it's a mess. When you are from Gauteng, you get to Sasolburg, it's a mess. I don't know what is actually happening in the Free State. Something must be corrected. I don't want to talk about the local and district roads. Then we come to electricity. Most of the municipalities are owing billions to ESCOM. And where I come from in Maludiapupu, they buy electricity from ESCOM, give it to the middleman, and the middleman sell it to the local people. And that municipality has been marked as a note by the former president. It is the poor of the poorest. And yet, there are people who are getting 80% of their vote from there because it's the biggest municipality after the metro. Water.
we are in 3 years without water, having the biggest dam in South Africa, located in Harrismith, self-contained dam. That water supplies Gauteng with water, whereas the people of that area are starving. They don't have water, but the municipality is owing billions of water. Health is a disaster. All the positions there in the free state, they are active. Oh, you are closing. You don't want to.
I can't control this. It's
not operative.
Oh, you spread hard.
Okay. That's what I said, you spread hard.
I want to be on record. I'm saying health is a disaster, Chairperson. When we were there with the oversight, with the committee that I served with previously, all the positions acting. There is a hospital there in, I don't recall the name of the town. It's a white elephant. It's a very beautiful hospital. But it doesn't have doctors, no nurses, only one nurse, and it's situated next to the Sud, so yeah, that people can...
Can I come in here?
Yes.
Honorable Matara must now correct me if I'm wrong. We must now go back to the Free State on a report back session as we did with Eastern Cape. I think that is somewhere featuring in the program, if I recall it correctly. No, what you are mentioning here is serious, yes.
Especially in Maludia Fofo.
It is serious, but that will feature there.
Let me conclude, Chairperson. Yes. The budget eradication. Most of the places in Eastern Free State are rural. Locations and towns are dropped in the ocean. All those people, they are not using a bucket system. They are using pit toilets. And yet, you come and tell us that you are already done with the bucket eradication. And you can imagine, we are using pit toilets. We have created for ourselves flushing toilets. But you can imagine visiting my place without water after I've gone to the toilet. You can't stay in that house. And this in itself, again, is a health hazard. So I propose that Memudara, we must once visit some of the municipalities, especially Maludia Phofu. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Lord Shimango from the Free State. I'm going to, Honorable Baylor, before you start,
okay.
I want to apologize unconditionally if I offended you. I apologize unconditionally if I offended the Eastern Cape. And I'm putting this on record. You can raise your issues with the Treasury. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Apology accepted. We have to go on with the work. I'm not, as you said, Chairperson, some of the issues we'll deal with them when you're doing the equitable share, so I'm not going to delay you much. Some of the issues I've been talking about for some time, but I just want to give you a picture. Stephen, maybe you are a bit young. You haven't got grey hairs yet. In 1994, when this government took over, there were two South Africas. There were the homelands, and there was the former South Africa. The infrastructure of the former South Africans was up to date, was 100%. What we then failed to do is to bring the infrastructure of the former homelands in par with the former South Africa. That's where our failure is. For instance, that's why you go to northwest, you will see that my king is different to Rustenburg as per infrastructure. In all aspects, schools, hospitals, and works, there are no roads. Go to Limpopo, the same problem. Go to Free State, Kwakwa, you've seen yourself, Jefferson. It's a disaster. Go to Eastern Cape, PE is fine, East London is fine, but you go to the Mthatha and those areas there, it's a disaster. In fact, to prove it to you, I'll pay for you to go to one of the most beautiful hotels, but I want you to drive with your best car. See if, how you'll get there. So this is where the problem is. Some of these routes go to essential services which affect our people. They go to hospitals, they go to schools, they go to the resorts, coastal sites. We have to thank SANRAL for the roads that they've started building in the Wild Coast. And I must say SANRAL has got quality, Jefferson. Compared to roads that are built by the province or even, for your information, the municipalities, it's got quality. So what then needs to be done is the infrastructure grant to address these problems here. It's a nightmare. We drive on those roads. You know, a place 90 kilometers takes you about 2 hours, 3 hours. Matara was at my place. She knows the mess up of a road it is. One of Matara, sorry, no, we get on very well together. So this is where the problem is. Unless you come up with a plan, what if it's a plan like the ACD program, where funds are there for, but those funds must be under national. It's going to be a disaster if they are under the province. Let me face my problems, but it is going to be a disaster, I know that. Under national, special funds to address this infrastructure. That is why you don't have enough employment. Who will invest in those areas? There are beautiful coasts. The scope for tourism, but there is nobody in his right mind who will go invest there unless this is addressed. And therefore, you need a special fund for this year to bring the former TBB states in power with South Africa. You need a fund. So that is what we are praying for. That is what is needed. A special fund to bring it in power with the greater South Africa. Thank you.
Honourable Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. I want to start by saying that Treasury explained quite nicely to us, and thank you for that. The one thing that I want to mention, yes, you indicated that, you know, all the grants are still increasing. But then again, I just wanted to remind us that we have budget cuts. I think in two instances it's 3.6 billion. So that is a huge chunk of money that we don't have to invest for the very issues that we are referring to. Yes, I understand that the budget is under stress. And if you don't have the money, obviously you cannot spend the money. But I just want to make that point, that, you know, that if we can get to a point where we can start accelerating the allocations again, obviously that is needed. We have a desperate need for, you know, job creation, stuff like that. Then secondly, the other issue that I wanted to raise, you know, I think, and I am not an expert on that, but I'm living in a community, and, you know, I'm doing business in community. So I know, you know, I have a sense of disposable income that people have. You know, everybody, everything is going up. It's tax and whatever, and we know that Eskom is also still, you know, beating the drums. They also want one hell of an increase, stuff like that. What I'm trying to convey to you is I think that we must not overestimate the amount of money that can be raised by local authorities. They are also under pressure. And then the last thing, Chairperson, that I want to say, roads is really very bad. And I'm not a spokesperson for the Eastern Cape. They made their point. But we visited Mthatha Hill a while ago. And, you know, I was just about sick. You cannot drive on that roads. Really, you can't. It's just too bad. And obviously it's affecting those people badly. And, you know, the cost to build 1 kilometer of road nowadays. It's out of this world. Chairperson, thank you. That is just my plea that, you know, my province now, again, they got, I think, in two instances, an incentive for good performance. So, yes, there are incentives, and I'm very thankful about it. But then again, you know, they obviously also suffer from the budget cuts. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Monikiri.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thanks for the responses or comments by the National Treasury to the issues that we have raised, especially as Limpopo. We have in particular noted that your comment that some of the issues require us as a province or provinces to deal with. They do not necessarily belong to this level. We as members of provincial legislature, we as delegates representing those provinces should be able to go back and have a serious engagement with our colleagues at that level so that we deal with those issues at that level, because they don't necessarily belong to this level. They don't need to be elevated at this level. I'm saying this also in response to some of the issues that my colleagues in this meeting have raised. I think it's us who must go back and deal with those, no? Because otherwise it would be like we are just lamenting. The second point that I want to talk to is the one that my colleagues have, I think, covered adequately, the issue of road infrastructure. As I said, especially for Limpopo, we do have many areas that have been designated as economic nodal points, centers, special economic zones, you name them. And I think the province working together with the DTI are making progress. But without necessary infrastructure, it's going to take time, and the impact won't be at the level that it's supposed to be. So, and that is why I want to add my voice to what has already been said, to say that I think we need support there to make sure that this infrastructure is actually given the necessary attention, so that whatever is produced there at those economic centers can actually reach the market, and there could be that free and easy movement, as I said earlier on, of goods, services, including the people. The third point is with regard to, I think you have commented on that one, the guidelines regarding this National School Nutrition Program. I think you said that perhaps the Department of Education should be able to deal with it. I thought National Treasury should have an interest on the matter, because it's about school governing bodies being given powers to appoint service providers. I'm not very sure as to whether, in terms of the law, in particular the Public Finance Management Act, whether this is in order. So I once more request you to look into this. I've got a sense that maybe you didn't understand this from this angle that I'm now raising. So if you could go back to this one and have a look at it. The other is about being combat ready with regard to drought or crisis like those. I think the point that my province is trying to make here is that we need to plan in such a way that we are able to prevent the crisis from occurring. Not that when the crisis arises, we should then, you know, respond. And I think that is why the point they are raising is, let's try to build more dams and what have you. If you have got more dams, more water, it means the crisis won't then arise. And don't be a need to declare whatever, you know, like it has been declared, I think, in some of the provinces at the moment. So I think, the point that we're making here is that the National Treasury should be able to work with departments like water and sanitation to make sure that enough resources are set aside to have this necessary infrastructure put in place, so that we can prevent this crisis from developing. Thank you very much.
Honourable Samandi, we dealt with the KZN mandate are there any matters that you want to raise with the Treasury?
Yes. Don't monopolize the mic. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you. Good afternoon to my colleagues. No. Just one aspect, Chair, and I don't think they've raised it in the document, but I think it was a preoccupation in the discussions we've had, and that is, you know, the monies, Chair, when what do you call, particularly the education. Education funds that were, I think we were given an opportunity as provinces, and KZN had an opportunity to apply for that amount. It was about 350 million rand. But then the issue really, Chair, is then what was then this money was made available, I think, December last year, late November, December. With all the technicalities. I'm just underscoring that point, Chair, that it then becomes difficult, you know, for provinces. They had to do, for instance, on the day when we were briefing them, they had to also try and get a bill done over a day, you know, just within a day, have a bill, an adjustment bill, for them to be able to get the money appropriated to them. So it is an issue. And I think it's a bigger issue as well for provinces. So I just wanted to underscore that point, Chair, because I think let's do better, Treasury. Let's do better. If funds are available for other provinces that think they can perform better, then let's make them and remove all other obstacles. Otherwise, then it becomes a bigger issue when people have tried to apply it, and then there's different to and fro goings between national and the province. I think that's the Chair that I needed to underscore. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honourable Mutla Shupi.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me start by acknowledging the responses from National Treasury. So in terms of my province, I've got very serious concerns, and pardon me for the hard language. The other issue, Chair, that I think today we are doing justice to the negotiating mandate, it's very encouraging that we are maximally participating, and it's very encouraging. However, I think I must caution, we must separate between oversight issues and issues that relate to the division of revenue. Because oversight issues are issues that are just general, you know. We should avoid that situation and stick to the division of revenue. But, well, of course, I'll have to make some workshops, you know. Chairperson. There are quite, of course, a number of issues that were raised by my province with regard to the division of revenue. And I would want National Treasury to respond to them. I know that in most cases they say other issues they will then respond in writing. We're not debarring them from responding in writing, but those that they can be able to address them now, they should be able to do so because they go on record. I'll start with one issue that was raised by the committee because, you know, I'm mandated to raise these issues. The new municipal restructuring grant, which is to be introduced in the 2019 and 2020 financial year, that is intended to increase revenues in municipalities. For purposes of this grant, can municipalities be able to buy electricity in bulk, be encouraged to buy electricity in bulk, and be able, in terms of their revenue collection, increase their revenue in terms of this new municipal restructuring grant that is intended for the 1920 financial year? Chairperson, There's a municipality in the northwest called Moretele, and Dr. Ruth Sokomuti Mompati. It is the region where I come from. Now, they have taken the water grant. I'm not sure this water grant. They've taken the water grant and invested it in VBS. These two municipalities. And it's under curatorship. This is very serious, and it is the grant and the funds that were allocated and given to these municipalities by National Treasury. If you could respond as to what are the consequences, because this is intended for basic service to municipalities. You know water, huh? Free water services, and there's an allocation that is given to the poor, right? VBS is under curatorship and it's a challenge. There is a clause now in the bill that we are dealing with that gives municipalities the power to borrow. This clause that allows municipalities to borrow money, will it not be abused by municipalities that are under distress and find them? Because National Treasury, as we pass this bill without condition in that clause, it may create serious problems, because municipalities can go out and borrow because the bill says so, and ultimately they would may find themselves again in more distress. Let's look at that clause in the bill. The roads maintenance grant in the northwest, as I was holding these briefings, the expenditure was at 33%. It was on record. In that meeting, provincial treasurer said, no, it has spiraled to 75%. Now, I want National Treasury also to assist us in this with this in terms of the roads maintenance grant in the northwest. The mining grant. For revitalization of mining towns was not meant for mining municipalities, but for mining towns. And there must be a clear distinction. Please, if that distinction could be clarified in the bill. The serious concern also relates to the provincial road maintenance grant. You know, the roads, the provincial road maintenance grant can only be used for re-graveling. And not be, it cannot be used for tiring of gravel roads. You can't turn that road from a gravel, in terms of this grant, to a tar road. If you do that, it's not the condition of the grant. South Africa is faced with a very serious concern of gravel roads that were... No, I'm telling you the truth in terms of this grant. Now, what I'm saying is that the backlog that we are facing in this country is that there were never roads prioritized for areas where Africans lived. And they are gravel roads. So you can't end them, in terms of this grant, into a tar road. Look, I must say this thing. You know, people, we are always saying, where are we going wrong? We've got minerals, we've got resources. South Africa is experiencing an economic crisis. And through your your response, ma'am. You said that the National Department of Transport must provide a policy and a strategy. Now, you know, we are in 2018. Who in this country, does not know that Northwest produce platinum? This is the largest platinum producing province. Who does not know? Even a small child in grade 3 knows. Now, if they say there's no policy, policy to make sure that that platinum is taken safely from its production to another destination, it becomes a problem. How can we have economic growth? Who does not know that the coal haulage that is given to Mpumalanga, what is the policy that was used to give coal haulage grant to Mpumalanga to alleviate its road to rail so that its rail infrastructure can be able to carry that coal? Now, in the Northwest, as I said, because here it says about policy, you know there is platinum. There's no platinum college. There's no cement college. There's no lime college. Haulage. The haulage grant. It's not there. Which policy do you want? Because this province is producing that haulage, as much as you know that there's coal haulage in Mpumalanga. This is a feeble reason that you are giving that there must be policy from transport. It's a feeble excuse. And therefore National Treasury must go in, look into the matter that we have the platinum haulage, we have the lime haulage, and we have the cement haulage, man. Haulage. The cement haulage grant. Because it's intended for this purpose to assist the road with the rail. And if that is not done, you will have this infrastructure shortfall and shortcoming. Please provide with another reason, not policy, in 2018. Please, man. Thank you.
Honourable members, now it's a very important point made by the Honourable Mutla Shipping. I think it's from next week. The select committees will be dealing with the national department's budgets and APPs. And then there will be debates. So there are two routes to take. One is the debate on the Division of Revenue Bill. The other one is on roads. So those members that are very serious about their points, to take that up in that debate as well, but also sensitize our colleagues in the National Assembly to assist, that we do it in tandem, although we have a provincial mandate in the NCLP, and our colleagues in the provincial legislators. And that brings me back to Northern Cape. 7 out of the 8 matters they raised are issues for the provincial legislator. And I told them that when we had the briefing and the public hearings. The other matter which I referred to is the equitable share. So that is the Northern Cape issue. You will recall, honorable members, when we dealt with the provincial tuition in 2017, several departments of health is under section 18 of the PFMA. It's a very serious situation. Again, referring to my own province, if you look at the picture last year and you look at what they presented now at the provincial legislature as the provincial department of health, So we will engage with them. I'm not going to deal with that now. I'm just sensitizing members. Excuse me. Are there any other serious matters you still want to address? Honorable Shivangu?
Chairperson, I think the NCOP has taken a decision that this year we are going to call the mayors and the premiers to come and account for the mess that we found ourselves in. Therefore, my take was that the oversight committee must go to those municipalities that are not performing. Lastly, Northwest cannot come and dictate terms for a Free State here. Whereas they are the worst performing province.
No, don't accuse them now. No. We're not going that way.
They are in a mess.
No, we're not going that way.
Yeah, I'm just telling this.
We're coming up with solutions.
That you must behave properly and not come and dictate terms for me. Yeah. I'm representing Free State here. Thank you, Chairman.
Well, the two of you can address it over a cup of coffee when we adjourn. All right. Thank you, members, for your additions. Treasury, you are going to reply in a written format. Are there anything you want to say now?
Maybe we just deal with two issues. I will deal with the one and Stephen will deal with the other. And the one issue raised about disasters and that you be preemptive is actually quite an important issue that's been raised. And it becomes also quite complicated. And if I can refer back to the Western Cape situation, because that is a very good example of you know, how do you deal with it. And we are working with both the National Disaster Management Center and also National Department of Water and Sanitation on, for example, the drought situation in the more Cape provinces in the country. But for example, the question that you need to ask is that you can overinvest in infrastructure as well, where you, in the end, you completely overreact and then you sit with dams and things like that that, you know, not get used, which is, could also be very problematic. And the reason why it's problematic, we'd say, but we've, you know, it's good that it's there, but you're creating quite an investment expenditure that needs to be carried by the future of South Africa and the future generation of South Africa, and that will push up the water prices quite phenomenally, that you pay two or three times the current price that you currently pay. So there must be a right balance between the infrastructure that you put in place and the type of you know, situation that you face. So to really determine what water you need to take into account, for example, the current rains that you will get during the winter season and what you can expect for the you know, for the next summer, for example, which can, you know, and then that will determine what is the water shortage or not. So it is really quite a complicated issue. But the water, the Department, National Department of Water and Sanitation, is working with appropriate stakeholders also to take that into account. Having said that as well, another important development that's currently taking place is that also the National Department of Water and Sanitation has taken projects that were projected to be done in future, that pulled forward to actually assist also with some of the water crisis that's being experienced. And the city of Cape Town, for example, is doing quite a bit as well in terms of short-term interventions. But short-term interventions are very expensive. It's quite important that you do, you know, the right separation between what short-term measures do you put in place and what more longer-term sustainable solutions you put in place. Maybe what could also be quite useful is that the National Disaster Management Center could potentially also present to this committee, for example, on the strategies that they've got in place. The National Department of Water and Sanitation could, you know, join with them as well. It could be quite useful to have discussions in this regard, because, I mean, the disaster situation is not getting better, and preemptive steps are definitely quite important going forward as well. Then just on the road issue before I hand over to Stephen as well, what is also quite key in these discussions that we've got with regard to strategic roads is who should take ownership of those roads are also quite important. If it's a national asset that will largely benefit the economy of the country as a whole, it should be classified as a national road. And some of the provincial roads that's currently in the system, they're classified as provincial roads, but in reality should be reclassified as national roads. So that's also an issue that's quite critical in the discussion. But if I can hand over to Stephen to deal with this in more depth, because I notice this is a very key issue for the committee.
Well, we have been taking on when we go to our legislators, that I can tell you. Yes. Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks. I would gladly accept the invitation. The Cape is my home province too, so I would gladly accept any invitation.
Comes from East London, actually. The Basil Canyon Stadium was named after his grandfather.
My great uncle, my grandfather's brother. Anyway, I think the main point to emphasize around the roads maintenance issues is that we hear the frustration of the committee and from the provincial legislatures, and we will take this up with the Department of Transport, including through the budget process. But I'm glad that Honorable Galen noted the example of SANRAL and how well many of the SANRAL roads are managed, because what I was trying to explain earlier is really the SANRAL approach, that there is an engineering standard for roads, there is a time schedule for when a road needs to be resurfaced, re-graveled, all of these are, it's like a maths problem. You just, you know, it's pretty simple if you follow the engineering standard. And that is the approach that we're trying to implement through in the rules and incentive of the provincial roads maintenance grant and in that rural roads asset management system for municipalities. Where we get into trouble is if we miss those benchmarks on the engineering standards. So if you don't maintain a road on time, if you delay it by 3 to 5 years, the cost of road maintenance goes up sixfold, so it costs six times as much. If the maintenance is delayed further, between 5 and 8 years, the cost increases 18 times. Now, you're never going to recover from that. And in a country with limited resources, we have enough money in South Africa to maintain our roads on time, but we don't have enough money to pay 18 times that if we miss those benchmarks. And what has happened in a lot of these provinces is that you've missed the time when when the road was meant to be maintained, and now you're having to pay that 18 times to catch up. And I think it's not actually that dissimilar what happens in some of the other sectors as well. Roads is just a particularly visible one and a particularly easy to measure system. But I mean the same kind of thing, the same catch up dynamics play in water and electricity and all of these other areas as well. And I think just also there was a particular question, if I can deal with, on the municipal, on roads also. I mean, Honorable Motla Chopeng, we're not unaware of the particular challenges in the Northwest. I think the issue with the Department of Transport is that there are also other mining and heavy road usage things in other provinces, and we need a policy guideline on how to prioritize between the Northwest, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, etc., between where the rail is available versus road and those kinds of issues. So I think that's just to clarify on that. And then there was a question on the municipal recovery grant. And just to say and on that grant that grant is being designed during the course of this year through a consultative process with our stakeholders. So it would be wrong of us to speak now on what it will and won't, on what it will fund. We can just say that it won't be a bailout for municipalities that have performed badly. That municipalities will have to demonstrate. The principle we've set down is that municipalities will have to demonstrate a commitment to implementing sound governance before they're eligible for the grant, and the grant will then assist them with whatever turnaround is in place.
Maybe just one last issue that was also raised, and the concern that the current provision in the Division of Revenue will lead to unfettered and bad borrowing by municipalities concerned. It will do exactly the opposite. What the previous provision allowed is that we guaranteed the conditional grant so that you know, it will be available for what we call pledging. And what that meant is that, for example, the DBSA that then used that money to secure a loan didn't do the necessary oversight, and it resulted then in you know, quite a bit of a mess. What it will now require to be done, which was different in the past, the risk will actually lie on the financier. So the financier will now need to do due diligence in the process, which is quite critical. So it's actually bringing back the rules and the accountability that provision actually took away in the past. And it's in alliance with the criteria stipulated in the Municipal Finance Management Act, which actually allows a municipality to borrow on its full balance sheet. If we actually look at the current borrowing that's taking place, our concern is actually no financier will give to any unviable municipality any long-term loan. They will run away as fast as they can. Our concern is actually that there's great infrastructure needs in metropolitan municipalities, for example, and also fast-growing towns, and that they've become too reliant on infrastructure conditional grants to finance those type of infrastructure. In the meantime, if you provide infrastructure to people that can pay for services, you should actually not be using conditional grants. You should actually be using your own balance sheet, internal generated revenues, as well as external borrowing. And our concern is that there's a number of municipalities that's well managed and well run, that have got huge infrastructure needs that they can actually address much faster if they were actually not less risk averse. So that is something that we are working with the municipalities concerned. So what we're currently doing is one of the areas that we're currently focusing on is to review the municipal borrowing policy that was established when the Municipal Finance Management Act was under discussion. So we're adding some of the new developments that's taking place that wasn't there in the past, to add it to the policy and look at specific issues. Then we're also working with the municipalities on a range of issues that can enhance infrastructure investment. And one of that is also we're looking at improving the regulatory framework for development charges, which is another tool that municipalities can use to support infrastructure investment. So it's a whole range of support that we provide in that regard. But to alleviate the concern of the committee, it will do exactly the opposite. It won't decrease the risk, it will actually reduce the risk.
Thank you. When can we expect your written reply to the matters? Today is Tuesday. Friday is a public holiday, and next week is also a broken week because of the 1st of May. Because we want to incorporate that into our report as well. It's Thursday. Will Thursday be fine? Coming Thursday? Will that be fine? What time? Make it 12?
No, Chairperson, you can even make it, say, 4, because the key thing is, as soon as we receive it, to share it with the members, and
yes,
then we will have, like, time to
I'm coming to the program after we dealt with the minutes. I'm going to give Honorable Motara just that opportunity as well, because we are a bit under pressure for the 2nd of May, dealing with the Division of Revenue Bill, but she will address that. She serves in the comment and program meeting and the WIPs. Thank you to Treasury. We're going to release you. We're going to deal with minutes, Honorable Members. Just be patient. I know you want to run. I put to members the minutes of the excuse me, of the 17th of April 2018, when we had the public hearings on the Division of Revenue. It's in your pack that was on the table. Here it is. The 17th excuse me, my voice don't want to help me now. The 17th of April 2018, dealing with the public hearings on the Division of Revenue, and we looked at minutes. I put to you page 1 on the members. Page 1 is all who attended. Page 2 is the submissions, etc. Going on to page 3, because this will appear in our committee report as well. Page 4, we address the matter. The minutes of previous meetings. And then I put to you page 5. I put the minutes of the 17th of April to the committee. Can I get a move for adoption? Honorable Motara Shuping moves for adoption. A seconder. Honorable Shabangu seconds. Thank you. Honorable Motara, can you update us on the program, please? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'm just going to speak on the committee program. I'll just speak on the committee program. The framework for the second term, in terms of the NCOP, we agreed upon it and we don't foresee any changes, I hope. So that's let me just say that. The joint program of the two committees was circulated by Estelle last week. So members did receive the electronic copies of the combined program of the two committees. Tomorrow from 10 o'clock, we will be dealing with, the finance committee will be dealing with the public hearings on the VAT bill, or, it's the rates and monetary amounts, but it's VAT, basically. Yes. Next week, Tuesday, that's the second, it will be the Committee on Appropriations Wednesday the 2nd of May. The 1st is Tuesday. Okay. So it's Wednesday. We'll be dealing with the final mandates from provinces. Again, the Appropriations Committee. And then in terms of going to the House, the same Wednesday, it will go to the House. So we've been requested to meet earlier than 10 o'clock if possible. But I don't know how possible it is, given that Tuesday is a public holiday and we have to receive the final mandates from provinces. So if it is possible, we'll meet earlier than 10, but the meeting is scheduled for 10. That's on Wednesday, yes. So we'll just wait for confirmation of the time of the meeting from the Secretariat. If it is possible, we'll meet earlier. But we have to, because on the same day it's going to the House. Currently it's set for 4, but there's a procedural issue. The procedural issue is that once the committee finalizes the report, that report must be, you can say it must be, it must be tabled. So the ATC, whether there's a big debate now whether it means ATC as printed in the ATC or must it be tabled in black and white. So it's trying to understand the definition of tabled. it's a debate about what does tabling a report mean. So that's why they want us to have it earlier. so that the report can be tabled, noting it's not going to go to the ATC because the ATC would have been out already. But it must be printed, tabled, printed, made available for members. And then the sitting will take place at 4. The only time change is the committee meeting. So, but we'll wait for the secretariat. Estelle, do you have an indication of whether the meeting can start earlier?
Yeah, Estelle, all the members, there's one responsibility coming to us to engage with our provinces. We know they're sitting on the final mandate in the province, because that's going to have an impact on the time of the meeting on the 2nd of May. Estelle.
Thank you, Chairperson. We know of at least one province that is having their sitting to confer the mandate that morning at 8:30. So it won't be, I think, fair for us to move it earlier. And in fact, if House is only starting at 4, because it's not going to, the ATC is not going to be published before the sitting. So for us to just finalize the report after its adoption and send it to the NCOP for them to make hard copies to distribute in the House, I don't think it will, from our side, be a big problem for us to start at 10.
Okay, then that's the confirmation then, Chair, that the meeting will start at 10, because if there's a legislature which is sitting at 8:30, there's no way that we can,
Understand that, Wendy, I noted you.
Just a question also for clarity. When it goes to the NCRP, will it be a debate or just a tabling?
Honorable Motara.
Usually, the Division of Revenue bill, we've tabled it. There's also been this issue in committees, whether reports must be tabled or debated. So in the House, in the program, it just says consideration. So there's no, but I think if we go according to past practice, it will be tabled, declarations, and then provinces will be allowed to make declarations on the bill. Okay, so that's past practice, but usually, I mean, committees, I think there was an indication from when we did the fiscal framework. I think in past years we just tabled it, but this year we debated it. So if there's an indication, especially from provinces that want to participate. So like you would see now, Gauteng raised issues that should have gone to the fiscal framework, not necessarily the Division of Revenue, but maybe Honorable Botla Shuping will deal with that in his workshop of what belongs where. we'll then have Local Government Week, the details of which we don't have the program of. Local Government Week will take place from the 8th of May, so that's the week after, from the 8th until the end of the week. It is happening here in Cape Town. That's all I know. We'll wait for the steering committee to give us further details. And then we'll get into the policy debates, budget vote debates. We'll start on the first debate is on Tuesday the 15th. So that's hoping that committees have by then concluded their meetings by the departments and then scheduled the policy budget debates. It will start on the 15th. Some will debate on a Wednesday. The first week we're debating on Wednesday and the Thursday, the week thereafter also on a Wednesday. I think the week after that is just on the Tuesday and the Thursday. So that program is really dependent on the committees that are dealing with the briefing by departments to the respective committees. That process should conclude. We've said by the 28th of June. Mm. Yeah, it will continue for the rest of May, right until the end of June. Our finalization on the bill is the 28th of June. I just want to confirm that it is the 28th. Yes, it is the 28th. That plenary is scheduled to start at 10. So that's then when we come in as the committee. That process, it's the tabling of the report. We then vote on each schedule parties make declarations, and then provinces make declarations on the bill itself. Okay, that's then the process. Thanks, Chair.
I noted Honourable Blanche and then Honourable Motla Shipping.
I just want to know, you know, can we get clarity about the second, whether it's going to be just a tabling of the report now or is it going to be a debate, because you need to prepare them differently.
I spoke to the Chief Whip last Tuesday. He called me. Chief Whip Mwai called me out of the plenary last Tuesday. It's 76 legislation. And 76 legislation is supposed to be debated. It's serious legislation. So that was not finalized on Tuesday because there was a program meeting on Wednesday morning. The other route to take is the debate on the local government week is to feature this into that debate. That is another option. So I'm now asking also Honorable Motara to assist in this process, that we notify our members as soon as possible about the outcome, because that's also a decision by the whippery. Honorable Motla Shufi?
No, Chair. You spoke about an issue that I wanted to speak about. The issue is, this committee, except the chair, more often gets a chance to present the report, though you have a situation where you distribute to members. But now, it is the determination of this committee in terms of programming that we decide whether we want to table or to debate. And more often, we never get an opportunity to debate issues in the House and afford all members an opportunity to air their views to South Africans about the division of revenue. And therefore, I would concretely propose that we debate the division of revenue and not only table it. That we debate it, we involve, we hear the divergent views. But Chair, the other issue, when I was raising an issue last week, it's besides that, I made a proposal. When I was raising an issue about the ADC, you know, when you started here in the meeting, you said on Thursday there's going to be a debate when we started. And I was started wondering, because it's not in the Z list, it's not in the program. And I was raising that issue because, you know what is the problem? The problem is that we are from different political parties. And mandates assigned for constituency work. And some of us, based on the program, the flights are rationalized to go home and to come back. If you don't plan your things accordingly on time, you have a problem. Of these meetings that just need, we are going to have a problem. Two, Honorable Motara, I'll make an example. You know, like today, it's for the first time that we have exhausted the negotiating mandates like this. Usually we take an hour. And there's a meeting scheduled for tomorrow. Legally speaking, are we compelled to hold joint public hearings? Are we compelled? Or we were supposed to be invited because we had time to say immediately after this meeting, perhaps, because we are not occupied, we are saving in the economic cluster. We then have the public hearings in the afternoon. I'm making an example, because tomorrow we are coming for public hearings. Now, in June, if you look into the program, there is a situation where all committees will be home, like now. Committees are not here, most of the committees, because it was the determination of chairperson. You remember this was to be a what week? A local government weekend, it was then said committees can decide whether they want to hold meetings and all that in the programming meeting. Now, I'm saying, without congesting the program, can we have a situation where we don't find ourselves to be the only committee that will be here in Parliament that we can't have a way of handling. I'm sure our members here, Honorable Motara, are even prepared to go, when we have said it many a times, that we are even prepared to work during the week, late in the evening, if proper arrangements are made, so that we finish our program, we deal with the issues. Not to find ourselves being the isolated and the servants that work all the way, every time. Thank you.
On the matter of the hearings tomorrow, honorable members, I'll take you back to December 2017, when there was unpleasantness about the processing of the revenue bills by the National Council of Provinces, and we had to do it in 14 days or less. And then we took a decision that when it comes to revenue bills, like the one of tomorrow, on the Rights and Monetary Amounts Amendment Bill, which include the VAT, that we engage jointly with the Standing Committee on Finance to bring the NCP earlier on board in the processing of this. So tomorrow morning you get a briefing plus a public hearing that will take us up to about 4:30, if I can remember correctly. There's 14 submissions. Yes. That we cover that part. We also said, because it's VAT, not all the poor people can come to Cape Town to attend a public hearing, that we take this to provinces during the course of the year. And that's where Honorable Motara comes in the WIPS meeting, in the program committee, to see how we can maneuver this. That there's no fingers being pointed at Parliament, say, you're rushing this thing again. We're going to consult in terms of Section 71 and 72 of the Constitution. You can go read it. That we are covered there. That's the question of the rights and monetary amounts. The other one is the oversight week, that which has been the week of the 7th of May or the 8th of May. That's been shifted to this week, and I told the Chief Whip, it's impossible for us to cover anything in oversight outside Parliament. We can't do it. Why? It's affecting our visit to our Tambo District Municipality, which we have to conclude. And I sent an email to Honorable Motara. We must find space somewhere in the program, because we received a letter, this committee, from the chair of the NCOP, to conclude this matter. And I seriously want to conclude it, but we are now experiencing a challenge. So I just want to inform the committee, it's not off the agenda. We can't take it off. We have to report back again to the NCP. Oba Matara, anything you want to add as well? Where's the hands up? Sorry, Honorable Kayla.
Pick the one next to you. The cable pulled out. Pick the one next to you. No, Chairperson, I just wanted to support my colleague here, that we got a lot of time in the evening, and we must make use of that time, because you must also be aware, Chairperson, we have a problem with our flights, especially things like Eastern Cape. We use Express, and sometimes there are no flights and so and so. So let's make use of the evening as possible. And then the oversight to different projects. I think, Chairperson, it's time that we make use of the members of who are in the different provinces, because being given projects by municipalities, sometimes they give you the projects they want you to see. They don't give you those that are in the best way, money that has been lost. So it's just a suggestion that we must make use of our members here. Of course, you've done that with Eastern Cape now. And I want to thank you for that. And I think we must do that more and more often. Thank you.
Any other inputs?
Chairperson, my take was that I also aligned for the first time in my lifetime
with the Honorable Mushupi that really tomorrow we might have obstacles with regard to transportation because of the national strike. And
we find ourselves wasting time in here not attending the meeting.
But if at all you can maybe sometimes next week come here for a night and deal with the matter of public hearing and all that jazz. But I don't know, it's just a suggestion. Thank you.
All the stakeholders has been notified and will appear tomorrow. I think there's 14 of them regarding the rates bill. The main issue there is that. That is a big, big issue. Let's make no secret of it. It's a serious issue. Other members, with that, thank you for your inputs and the way you represented your provinces. I think you did very, very well this morning, as well as to the staff preparing for this meeting. This meeting is... What?
No, look, the proposal that Honorable Mutla Shuping made was that we must have a debate. His motivation for the debate is that members of the committee must participate. Okay, and I think, yes, that's the issue, is that because it's a Section 76, you will have provinces that participate in the debate. So if we get an indication, my view, this is my proposal, that if we get an indication from provinces that they want to participate, then it must be debated. But if you don't get provinces that participate, there's no purpose in having a debate because because the tabling and then the declarations by provinces will then cover that. But if you don't get direct representation from provinces, there's no need to have a debate.
Well, one province has consistently their case at end. They are very committed. They attend all the debates.
So maybe, Chair, what we can do is if between today and tomorrow, if permanent delegates can get an indication from the provinces if they want to debate or not, bearing in mind that debate will take place only at 4. So indicate it to your provinces. Let's get feedback from the provinces. If the provinces want, the date is the second it's next week Wednesday.
And that you give your feedback, members, to Honorable Motara, please. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned. Ghost, yes, adjourned.